medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for personal care. If you have or you suspect you might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of this radio show or their sponsors.
Glad to be here. We've got a great show. I'm very excited to do this today. You and I, we've got some great guests, but we also have some really exciting topics that you and I have gone through, and I'm really excited to share that with our audience. It's going to be fun. We're going to rock it and roll it today. We've got
cool stuff.
The
fun never stops.
That's it.
So I hear you've got a crazy story. Let's start out with a crazy story today.
When I got this, I was amazed. And this was a very interesting phenomenon that the scientists on this study that found out about it were pretty much basically saying this was the first ever that this happened, to where two women consumed, you could say, bitter pumpkin, bad pumpkin, and they got sick. Mm-hmm. And they started losing their hair. That would be bad. If I lost my hair, I don't know what I'd do.
Yep, especially if you're a woman.
Exactly.
Not what you want.
They started experiencing, one of the women started experiencing nausea and vomiting. But the great thing about this was within 2 weeks, they started getting their hair back. And what was the interesting thing that the scientists were able to discover is they were diagnosed with alopecia type symptoms, which means alopecia is a autoimmune disease that both men and women get, and it basically causes loss of hair.
What was it in the pumpkin, you think, did that?
You know what? That is wild. They really don't know besides that it was a bad pumpkin. It was just either had some type of mold in it. They really actually didn't say. I was just really trying to find as much information on this as I could because we eat pumpkin.
Sure. I love pumpkin.
So I wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't going to turn into a pumpkin and I wasn't going to lose my hair or, you know, anything like that. But it was a really interesting situation, right?
That's a bad hair day.
That is a bad hair day. Can you imagine, you know, maybe?
The moral of the story is check your pumpkin out before you eat it. Make sure it's okay.
Make
sure it's healthy pumpkin. Because you don't want to lose your hair.
And you have, and you being the farmer, what would be a good way? You know, if people want to buy pumpkins and utilize them for cooking, what would be a great thing for them to do? I'm not sure. You know, like you go and when you buy a melon, you know, you hit it and you tap on the end and see if it's soft and see if there's anybody inside. If they bark back at you, you know that's the wrong one.
Yeah, don't pick that one. Make sure there's no smushy spots and, you know, that it's got a nice color to it. And, you know, pumpkins last a long, long time outside of the refrigerator. You can keep them for a long, long time unless they start to get soft. Soft pumpkin means there's going to be some rot. You know, it's not like a piece of fruit that gets ripe. You don't want your pumpkin to be soft. You want it to be nice and rock hard and hard to cut open. You know, if your knife goes through real easy, don't eat it. It's not a good
point. Right.
Those squash, any of those winter squash are the same way. You want to.
We still have pumpkins at home from last Thanksgiving.
Sure, I do too. Yeah. I do too, and I keep forgetting to cook it. But it's still hard, so it's not a problem. But I have had some that went bad. And, you know, you never want to ingest mold from anything.
No, that's a bad thing. And I think for our listeners and our audience out there, that's, you know, not to scare people away. This was just, I wanted to share this with them in regards to, it was just a really interesting story. And, you know, the squashes that are out there that we buy in our markets, that's another reason why you and I have talked about being the ones to engage, being more of the organic and being a little bit more proactive about how you buy your produce.
Sure.
That's,
organic,
I think,
is
really important.
A great choice. It's always a great choice to pick organic, you know, anytime you can. If you've got that choice and you can do it, yeah, go for the organics or go for somebody's, you know, backyard garden or, you know, grow your own garden. Or, you know, that's always going to be the freshest, highest nutrition, safest to eat all the time.
Yes. Yes. And that's interesting. And I really, and not that we're pushing that. That's not what we're doing, is I really want to just share with people that more and more today, there's more pesticides being utilized. And I think this was a really great story to bring to our attention and to our audience's attention. And that is, you know, the pesticides may have had some type of engagement on
this.
They
could have.
I don't know.
Yep,
and I'm not stating that. I'm just saying that when we have our choices on utilizing things that are a little bit more organic, we have less chances. And I know you and I later on in the show are going to really talk about something kind of fun that people can utilize around the house. And I think that people will really enjoy what we have to talk about and what to share with them.
Yep, we've got some safe ideas for home stuff, and we've got some foods to avoid before a workout. So
yep.
Those are coming up, and we've got a couple of guests today. Jeremy, tell me about the chef that we're going to have on today.
Yeah, we had Soreen on a couple of weeks ago, probably around 3 weeks ago, and we talked about how he engages his family. You know, and he owns a restaurant, so how he chooses some of his products, but how he takes the food, how he manages the restaurant and takes these things into his personal life with exercises. So today we've got him on talking about some really exciting things. We're going to talk about prepping wine and foods and wine pairing. And we're going to also talk about some really other exciting things that I don't want to share just yet. But then we also have a really fun guest that's going to be on, and I'm going to keep that one as a secret because that's going to be kind of fun and exciting.
All right. Well, let's give our listeners a way to contact you if they have questions for the show and they want to get on your website is www.totalfitandrehab.com. And Jeremy, go ahead and give your phone number so everybody can call you up.
Yeah, they can absolutely reach me at my cell phone, which is 310-994-9477. And we really encourage people to call. That's really something that is important to us. We want to hear from our audience. We want to hear from our listeners. We want to find out what's important to them. You know, we can come up with really exciting information, but we also want to make that it's sure that it's appealing to our listeners and that we're engaging them in being able to conquer things that they have that they want to hear and that they want to talk about, or possibly they have concerns.
Right. We want to talk about what you want to talk about and what you want to hear out there. So give Jeremy a call, 310-994-9477. This is Body Talk Live with Robin Pop and Jeremy Gateman, and we will be right back.
Thank you.
Robin Pop and Jeremy Gateman, and this is Body Talk Live, and we've been talking about food, and we've been excited about a guest that Jeremy's going to bring on today. Jeremy, I can't wait to see what you have.
Thanks, Robin. We've got the man on the street, and who is on the street? It's David Trevino. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Hey,
good.
David.
This is Robin. David, this is Robin.
Awesome.
How you doing, Robin?
I'm doing great. I can't wait to hear what you've got to share with our listeners today.
So, great. David, we've got want to talk about men in their 50s and 60s, active men in their 50s and 60s, and we want to hear how you, in the young age that you are, and how young are you?
I am 56.
I love it. So as you being a 56-year-old man in shape, tell us sort of what you do, how you incorporate specific things in your life to stay healthy, active, pain-free.
It is a challenge, let me tell you, because I do love to eat. But everything in moderation. You know, of course, I try to follow the doctor's guidelines. And, of course, if I have any questions, you know, I always recommend that you seek out professional assistance, you know, get somebody that knows how the body works, somebody that knows about nutrition. As far as for myself, I just try to stay as active as I can. You know, I used to play a lot of racquetball in college, volleyball. I wasn't very good at tennis, but I just love the exercise of running around. So, that type of stuff. But now that, you know, I'm getting older, the body doesn't move as agile as before.
It's fluid, as it does.
Exactly. So I try to do morning stretches, you know, just make a simple chore, like, say, you know, wiping down the shower stall. You know, I just kind of exaggerate the motion and make that like a morning stretch. Of course, you know, you just got out of a warm shower, your body's loosened up, and, you know, you get in a nice stretch there. Fortunately, I live in a second-floor apartment, so I have stairs every day.
You got stairs, man. You got more exercise. But how do you, you know, when you talk about moderation, you know, Robin and I talk about this a lot, about how we can engage our audience and listeners into really learning and not taking this offensively to things that you have to do in moderation, and to be able to obtain the goals that people want to do, which is stay healthy and lose weight and feel strong. You've been seeming to do this for a long time. You started activities in college. So how can you educate our listeners on what does moderation mean, and how do you do that in your life? Because we all do it differently.
Right. Yeah. Well, just like up until I was 30, I could eat anything that was on the table, no matter how many people were there, you know, that I was gathered with. So, of course, now moderation means, you know, eating, taking my time to really taste the food and just slowing down the consumption. And you know, that helps, you know, that helps for overeating.
Right.
Actually, you know, I've heard also about drinking a glass of water about an hour before you plan to eat to help help your stomach feel a little bit more full. Moderation, you know, I drink every once in a while.
Of course, have to have that glass of wine.
Moderation. I'll treat myself to a pizza now and then, or a donut every now and then. But like I said,
said the magic word. Donut. That's my
donut.
Favorite.
Exactly.
Yay.
And the other important word is now and then.
Yeah. That's
I
right.
I haven't had a donut in so long. It is not even fair.
Robin, that's horrible.
It is horrible.
We're going to have to, you know what we're going to do? I think we need to go, I'm going to go to a donut shop. And
we're
I'm going to get them
donut run.
To sponsor this show. We're going to get them on the show. I think that's how we're going to do that. That'll be awesome.
I don't know that fits with our narrative, Jeremy.
Yeah, I know. You're probably right. But it's true. You know, I think people, it's really important to say, you said it right. Now and then. There's nothing wrong with the now and then. There's nothing wrong with incorporating a piece of chocolate or a cookie here and there. You don't want to stop your life. You want to be able to, you know, bullet through and power through your day and eat as well as you can, but enjoy that glass of wine, that beer, that cookie. There's nothing wrong with doing things in moderation, but also enjoying life.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I liked what you said, David, about just using exaggerated motions in your everyday activities. I think that's a great tip.
When you're washing your car, you know, just like really take time to really stretch the body and, you know, just get it all going. Again, taking the extra steps when you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea.
I do too. In engaging more people, and not that we want people to hurt themselves, but I love the idea of getting your body a little bit more engaged. So if you take your body, if you take your body to the car wash, yeah, that would work really well, right? If you take your car to the, come on, I'd love to see that one. If you take your car to the car wash, maybe the next time, wash it yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
You know, I love the fact of engaging independent body movements more because people don't move enough. And I love it. I really think that that's great, that we are going to be able to get our listeners to be a little bit more active with simplistic things, such as things around the house.
And things mm-hmm. that you love. You know, I'm kind of closer to David's age than Jeremy's age, so I get the fact that you have to incorporate things that that fit. And
yeah.
One of the things that I love is gardening. And you know, you can really move your body in gardening. You have to be careful, but
I agree with that too. Mm-hmm. One of my neighbors in our apartment building has this beautiful garden out in front, and you know, I help her every now and then, and it's amazing how much you really move your body when you're gardening.
You do.
Yeah. You're right.
And there's,
you're right.
There's lifting and there's digging and you know, you're
and there's pulling. There's really great ways of, number one, increasing your heart rate, right? Getting that heart, which is really important to mm-hmm. get stimulated. And that's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
one of
a
the
great
other,
activity.
One, yeah, one, I was going to say that one of the other things I do is, you know, I keep my eye out for these healthy challenge exercise programs. And I've done a couple of them, and you just set the goal and you participate. And the good thing about that is there's, you know, there's the accountability of having to be somewhere. And if you're a type of person that needs accountability, find a friend, you know, or join a gym if you can afford it, and just, you know, if you have a workout partner, you're more likely to go and do it than not.
I like that, the accountability. And I think, you know, we're going to continue this man on the street. But David, what do you think if we put a challenge out there? Let's put a challenge out there to our listeners. What do you think?
Sure.
Let's, Robin, what do you think? I'm going to throw something out there.
Give it to us, Jeremy.
All right, my dear. Here's a challenge. And the man on the street, David, you tell me how you like this one. I'm going to do a month, twice a week, half-hour sessions, right? Twice a week, training session for someone for 1 month on me.
Awesome.
Ah.
So you guys hear that. So if there's someone that calls and says, hey, I heard that on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But the guest, David, the man on the street, they've got it.
All right. All right.
Hey,
number
David,
two
they'll be
call.
A lucky, they'll be the lucky winner. Lucky winner.
They will
That's
be.
It.
They will be. And the number to call Jeremy is 310-994-9477. So all of our listeners out there, if you're in Century City, California, or nearby, and you can get to his Total Fit and Rehab facility, take him up on this
grab
offer
it.
For June.
Grab it, man.
That's right.
David,
don't let him get away.
I love it. David, thank you so much, the man on the street, for taking the time to be with us. I think we're going to do this again. We're going to leave it up to you to help us and do some more research, if you don't mind.
Very good.
All right,
All
buddy.
Right. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Hi,
Have,
you're
a
welcome.
Great
Have a great day.
Day.
Thank
and
you
we'll
too.
Be right back with Body Talk Live. Thank you. Body Talk Live with Robin Pop and Jeremy Gateman. And we were just talking with David Trevino. And, boy, he had some really good suggestions of things
he does
in your daily walk around your house and, you know,
absolutely utilize
and staying active. I think that's the key.
Utilize. I think that that was such a great David. The man on the street was fantastic in utilizing your home as a gym, utilizing it as engaging your body into doing things a little bit more than you're used to doing, whether you're in the shower, when you're doing dishes. I mean, I think these are really great things, and not that we want to put people in compromised positions and bending forwards and putting dishes into the dishwasher, but find things that you can engage yourself with that are comfortable. They get your body moving. Turn on the music.
I was just going to say, put some music on, dance around.
Flash dance.
Yeah, there you go. And
I love it.
And move that body. So,
yes.
Speaking of moving that body.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I've been walking more, Jeremy. Be so proud of me. I've been getting up early
proud.
And taking a walk so I can stretch my body. And I'll tell you what, it does help my back a lot.
Yes. It does. It really does. And I think even, you know, a morning routine, I think that the listeners, you know, there's simple things, the questions that I always get, and I think that are in people's minds are, gosh, well, what do I do? You know, how do I alleviate my back feels achy and stiff in the morning? Well, here's something that I do, and I think we've talked about it. I sort of elongate my legs. I do little ankle circles. I get my arms moving a little bit because I do, even at my age, and we're not that far off, but it really doesn't matter. I get my body moving because I do wake up stiff. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the two tennis balls and the sock or the lacrosse balls. I'm telling you, this is a really great thing to do. And the reason why I keep talking about it is because I have my clients do it. I do it. And sometimes these are people that are in really a lot of pain. I mean, I had a client just last week who really had some challenges. And I said, okay, let's break this down. Let's do this. And it really was a breakthrough.
Well, go ahead and give the instructions for that again, in case our listeners didn't hear it the first time.
Perfect. So here's what I do. I take the covers off, and I elongate my feet. And I lift them up, and I sort of do one at a time. I sort of do some ankle circles and stretch them out and get those things moving, because that's usually what people feel is that stiffness. Now, when it comes to your back, the best thing to do is to bend your knees and go through just a little bit of a bridge, lifting your butt and back up. And if you can't do that, the best thing to do is get out of bed, put your hands on a wall or a door, and just slowly lean back a little bit and just get your body moving and stretch those things out. These are really simple, non-complicated things. But if you find at any one time that you feel symptomatic, you feel pain, that's not what we want. So you can call us and ask us questions and say, hey, well, when I do this movement causes me pain. Do you have another suggestion that I could do in the mornings to feel good?
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with the tennis balls?
The tennis balls, I put the two tennis balls in a sock. For me, I use lacrosse balls, and you can order all this stuff online on Amazon. It's really simple. Put them in a sock, and I start with my low back right on the sides of the spine, and I lay back on my back with my knees bent and slowly every 15 to 20 seconds move those balls up until I get to my shoulder blades. And again, the most important thing for us is that thoracic spine's an epicenter for how the rest of our bodies work. That is sort of the strength. It's the wall, and we want that wall to articulate. We want it to have motion, and that really minimizes the effects that people have with the cervical spine, upper body, and the lower spine and legs. Really
very
symptomatically
good.
In pain, it really helps.
Okay. I got to give that a try. I did get the tennis balls. I just haven't.
So with the protein powder that I'm going to send you, so you can't forget, I need your address. I'll send you. Do you have some tennis balls at home?
I do.
Okay. All right. We're in good shape.
Yeah, I do. So I'm.
And
gonna,
I want to hear.
Give that
I want.
A try.
Let's even engage. I want to engage our listeners, and I think it's important. I want to find out if they're utilizing this technique and how it works for them. Or maybe they've got another technique that we don't know about that they can share with us.
Yeah, send us a picture of you doing one of these stretches, and we can put it up on the website or on Facebook page. We can put it on your Facebook page. That's easier.
Absolutely, we can do that.
Yep, and Jeremy's Facebook page is Total Fit and Rehab, so it's real easy to find. And all these programs are also on podcast, and they are linked on his Facebook page as well. So if you miss the show, you can always catch up and hear one of our previous shows. So, Jeremy, talk to me a little bit more about using your leg muscles with weight-bearing movements. You had mentioned this earlier to me, and I think our listeners would love to hear more about this.
Yeah, I do. I think our audience would love to hear the importance of using your leg muscles. You know, this is one of the, you know, your leg muscles are the larger muscles of the body. And the sartorius muscle is the longest muscle in your body, and it's in your legs.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what you want to do, you know, specifically with weight-bearing movements. Limiting physical activity decreases the number. Well, let's back up for a sec. I think the most important thing is a part of this. This has a lot to do with being able to sort of train the brain and basically keeping the brain active and strong and keeping neural cells developing, because once we decrease the activity, the number of cells decrease. But the most important thing, right, and there was a substantial decrease in this study. But the most important thing is that when we don't act on increasing our activity, here are the list of things that our bodies go through and that we lack in our body's nutrients.
Okay.
And things that are really important. Number one, the body decreases oxygen in the body when we don't basically pump it up, when we don't increase circulation and blood flow. So that basically means contracting a muscle, contracting your biceps, contracting your triceps, your quadricep muscles, but specifically your leg muscles, because there's such a large body group of muscles that really can take a vigor of different types of exercises. So the process.
So when you move your legs, you're actually increasing your brain power.
You're absolutely increasing brain power. You're increasing circulation. You're increasing blood flow, right? You're increasing heart rate. You're increasing really important things, but this has a lot to do with people that are moving a little bit slower, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the most important thing? What's first is the brain thinks about what it's going to move. Right, wants to move the leg. So it's more, the more that we do this, the more that we think about it, the more that we're increasing the activity of the brain.
Ah, okay.
Because what we don't want to happen is we don't want the process of atrophy. And atrophy is basically the starting and cause of loss of muscle tissue and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And this process can happen within 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So
get
moving, man. We need to get moving.
Yeah, I think I'm getting up right now out of this chair.
Get it moving. Let's do some squats together, right?
We
want the audience.
Moving.
Let's all stand. Let's all stand up and do 10 squats and get those legs moving.
That's right. So if you're doing some exercises and you want to be on our webpage, or our, I keep saying the wrong thing, Facebook page. It's easier for me to put stuff on Facebook. So, send us a picture of you doing some exercises or maybe one of your favorite outdoor activities, and we would love to put you on the Facebook page, totalfitandrehab.com. And we don't have to use your name if you don't want to. That's fine. But you can email them to Jeremy or me. You can get my email is info at laughingchickenfarm.com. That's our farm email. And
oh, I
Jeremy,
love that.
Isn't that great?
Yep,
you remember
and
that
I,
one.
I am Jeremy at TotalFitAndRehab.com.
Jeremy at TotalFitAndRehab.com. Okay, so either one, send us a picture. We'd love to see you doing some exercises and stretching with a smile on your face. And we're going to take a break here in a minute. This is Body Talk Live, and we will be right back with more. We have a guest coming on next, so hang
we
with
do.
Us, everybody.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Body Talk Live with Robin Pop and Jeremy Gateman, the body guru. I love that name for you, Jeremy. That is awesome.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you all right? I know you were choking over there.
I took a sip of water and almost drowned myself, but I'm okay now. Yes, I am. We have a guest. I can't wait for you to introduce Soren.
Oh, man, this is great. We've had him on the show before, and we talked about El Forno, the restaurant, and we've got him talking about some wine pairing, but I'm also good. We're going to talk about some other things, some secret things. But, Soren, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
That's great. So catch us up, man. What's going on with you and in your life before we get to this exciting stuff of drinking some wine? We're actually not going to drink wine, but it would be great, wouldn't it?
I know, yeah. We got to try it. It hasn't been done before, drinking wine and doing a podcast at the same time. That should be fun.
You never know where the
conversation will lead you afterwards.
Exactly.
But I've been great. Thanks for asking. And busy here with the restaurant. We're getting in the summer. A lot of fresh produce coming in. You get beautiful fruits from the market nowadays. And so we're in the process of changing up a few dishes in the menu, tasting. And, it's just having fun with the guys in the kitchen and tasting some good wines meanwhile. So it's summer. It's a fun time.
That's cool. Yes. I love summer. I mean, I think my favorite season, and I know you guys probably think I'm a little bit crazy, but I love wintertime. I feel the most energetic in the wintertime.
Well, you live in California. Yeah. Winter's not winter there.
We don't get much of a winter.
Doesn't count.
We don't.
It's not even a winter, Jeremy.
I know, God.
Yep.
So let's talk about the great stuff. Let's talk about wine pairing and what you look for. You know, we're coming into seasons now. We're coming into the summer season. So when you look at pairing wine, what are you looking for? And how do you, you know, pick the right wine for this specific dish or even for the restaurant?
Right. It's a fully loaded question, Jeremy, because I can go on but I will try to edit myself a little bit here. The wine landscape now, it's so vast, and you have wine regions in the world that are producing some amazing quality wines. And,
yeah.
You know, when we talk about wines in specific, you know, I think it comes to mind all the terroirs, all the notes, all the different flavor profiles that are out there, and it's just so much fun, as I was saying earlier, to pair things together with food. But here, you know, at the restaurant, we take a different approach. Look at the dishes and the seasonality of the dishes and the food and the menu, and then we get into the wine pairing aspect of it. In other words, let's create the food and then will definitely find wines that will match those flavor profiles. And you know, like I was saying, there's a lot of variety from you know, different grapes and different regions in the world that are growing out there, and it's just a blast to really find the right pairing for the foods. But
interesting.
As far as pairing wine with the foods, we have our menu is. You know, each dish goes great with a different kind of wine. But a lot of times people get a bottle of wine and they have that with their appetizer, with their main course. And so we try to have a wine list that is very robust, and it has a lot of flavor profiles that go with the food. And so
I got a question for you real quick. And this, I think, you know, maybe something that you can answer, but what about if someone comes to you and says, you know, it's summertime, you know, they're going to order some fish on the dish, but they say, hey, you know, what would be a good wine that I could have, but I also have some digestive issues?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'm sort of sensitive, my body's kind of sensitive. What are the opportunities out there? You know, what are the different types of wines that people can drink that may be sensitive to digestion, maybe?
Right. So I would say if you have severe digestion issues, you know, it probably would be best to stay away from wine. But if you're going to have wine, I would recommend light-style wines, you know, like I wouldn't go for the full body reds or the full body aromatic wines like, you know, the Viognier and the Oaky Chardonnays. You know, and I know it sounds a little cliche, but, you know, a light Pinot Grigio and a rosé, you know, it's probably going to give you exactly, you know, what you need for that summer light style dish, like a, you know, like a poached fish or some sort. But there are a lot of wines out there that they're just easy to drink. And, you know, when I'm thinking fish, you know, right away I'm thinking white wines, right? Maybe an Oak Chardonnay or a Pinot Grigio from the Trentino region, or I'm thinking
like a nice Spanish. I love white wine from Spain.
They're amazing, and you know, a lot of people don't know white wines from Spain. And La Mancha region is one of the largest producers of wine in the world. I mean, people think that, you know, Napa Valley or Bordeaux, but La Mancha is the name of the game. The Spanish are producing some amazing white wines that are phenomenal, and not to even mention the Tempranillos or other varietals that are absolutely stunning for more like hearty red meat dishes.
Robin, do you guys ever drink a little bit of wine? Are you guys wine?
I am more wine, yes. I like wine. I do not like beer. So but I'm new to wine. You know, I haven't really explored a lot of different wines. What's a good rule of thumb for people that are looking to explore something new?
The rule of thumb, I would suggest when you go in a restaurant, just talk with, if there is a sommelier on staff, just talk with them, and or talk with someone on the staff that is, you know, knowledgeable, and just say, hey, you know, I'm having a steak tonight, or I'm having the lamb, or I'm having a pasta, I'm having some veggies, or I'm having some fish, you know, what do you think it goes great and why? And you'll get a little bit of an insight of how the process of how they choose their wines for those particular dishes. And then you'll be asked questions. Well, do you like fuller body? Do you like medium? Do you like more tannins? Do you like so based on the question and the conversation that you create with the staff members and the sommelier, then you're discovering things that you might otherwise refrain from, because you you go to a supermarket and you see so many bottles and so many labels, so many regions, you get a little bit confused, and it's a little daunting to go out there and trying to pick the right bottle of wine for your dinner, either at the restaurant or at home. And so if you open up the conversations with the guys that do it every day for a living, then you'll discover things. So I would say be open-minded to try something else. And the restaurants are very good. If you if they pour you something and you're not liking it, you know, they'll change it. They'll get you something else. Or you can always ask, can I get a little try of that Classico Chianti or that little Malbec from the Uco Valley? I haven't tried a Malbec from, you know, that particular region. Or and they pour you a little taste, and you finally find the right wine. But be open-minded, be open for the conversation. They'll guide you along, and there's a lot of good wines out there.
Awesome.
Here's
yeah,
a good question for you guys. Sorin, you know, I love wine, and I'm being taught a lot about wine.
We've got about 30 seconds, Jeremy.
We do. Oh, man. Okay, so we're going to get it through, and then we're going to bring you back. Share with us about storage. You know, when you open up, and it's different between white and red. You can keep white a little bit longer.
We're going to have to come back with that one after the break.
We're coming back.
Yep, we're coming back after the break
on this
with
break.
That one. We'll see you in a little bit, and this is Body Talk Live. We'll be right back. This is Body Talk Live. I'm Robin Pop, and Jeremy Gateman and I have been talking with Sorin Kostasi, a restaurateur in California. Sorin, give us the name of your restaurant for our listeners.
Sure. It's Il Forno, I-L-F-O-R-N-O. We're in Santa Monica.
All right. So if you're in that area, check out his restaurant and the wine tasting that he's got going on there, and the foods that he pairs with the wines. I'm really, really interested on hearing more. And you were going to share with us a tip on storage. So what do you do when you open that bottle and you've got some left and you don't want to drink it all?
Yeah, wow. It's an interesting question. So the white wines usually are served a little cooler, although some full body whites, you don't want them to be chilled like 45 degrees. You want them to have anywhere between 55 to 60 degrees, which is an average perfect temperature for a red wine. And some of the white wines, as I was saying, their ideal temperature to be served as well. But typically in the U.S. and typically in a lot of restaurants, the white wines are chilled like 45 degrees, and so you really get the essence of a white wine when the temperature goes up a little bit more. And if you want to experience one time when the white wine gets up to about 55 to 60 degrees, just cover up the top of the glass, cover it up with your hand, twirl around the glass a little bit, close your eyes and smell. You will not be able to tell the difference whether you're smelling a red wine or a white wine. The perfume and the notes are so much more intense that it's absolutely stunning how expressive a white wine can be when it's not fully cold. But
interesting.
It opens up to a different level of aromas, and you really get to taste and smell the grape, because wine comes from a fruit, and they're thousands of different grapes out there, which essentially there are thousands of different fruits which has their own expression. But if you don't finish up the wine, at home, I put a cork on it and I put it in the fridge. It stores very well. But before I serve it, before I have a glass again, I'll take it and put it on the counter and give it about 30 minutes to 45 minutes to open up, to come up to about 55 degrees, and then I'll pour myself a glass. But If you only have a couple of glasses out of a bottle, put a cork, throw it in the fridge. 2-3 days later, it's absolutely fine.
Okay.
Some of the wines will oxidize a little bit, and if they do, open up another bottle. But most of them, they stay pretty good in the fridge. Give it a few minutes to rise up to the ideal temperature, which is 50.
So what we're seeing is about 2-3 days max.
I would say so. Yeah, anything more than that, the wine starts to turn, and some of the white wines they lose the aroma. Some of the red wines they get a little oxidized, and they're not
sour.
You're not getting the full expression of the wine anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Now I've got another question for you. We were talking, Robin and I, and we wanted to know, because I'm a huge cook, and I sort of know when I go to the market, I prepare our meals for the week and what we're going to have Monday and Tuesday and sort of what I'm going to prepare and match with that protein. So what determines how you choose your ingredients, and what are you looking for?
So when I choose ingredients at the restaurant, we, number one, pay attention to seasonality. And we want to make sure that, first of all, we can source the best produce and proteins and in the most responsible and ecological way. We're trying to incorporate organics as much as we can. And we're trying to buy the best proteins out there on the market. And we deal with different purveyors for that. But as far as pairing up the wines, mostly we recommend white wines with chicken dishes and fish. Yeah, and then some people don't want a white wine, or they just don't like white wines. I'm actually a fan of white wines. Myself, but they want a red, you know. And if you want a red wine with a chicken, I would say with a chicken dish, or I would say a Pinot Noir or a very light a Sangiovese. Those are the go-to wines that I would recommend.
Interesting, I love it. And you know, when you guys go, you know, for me and Robin with you guys, you know, share. How you guys go? Are you the shopper? Is your husband the shopper? Who does the grocery shopping in your household?
In my household?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the shopper.
You're the shopper.
Well,
Serene, who's the shopper?
It's amazing how little I go to the grocery store for, because we grow it or I trade at the market. So it's
right.
I have never eaten so well as I am now, because we have so many fresh things. And, you know, I know out there where you are, there's some great farmers markets, and that's where I would go. And, you know, you have to buy paper products and, you know, plastic bags once in a while. But the veggies, the milk, I have a friend who has fresh milk, and I have, you know, just the best of the best of meat and veggies at my fingertips all the time. So, but usually we just eat seasonally, and that was one of the questions I had for Soren is, you know, the importance, the benefits. What are the benefits of eating seasonally?
Well, you know, just the fruits and vegetables are optimal in flavor profile when it's in the harvest season, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we can get strawberries year-round, and yes, we can get some vegetables and some fruits year-round, but their optimal flavor is when the harvest time is. So, for instance, now, we were at the farmer's market, and I know Jeremy was going to ask me who does the grocery shopping at my house.
That was the question I wanted.
I'm fortunate that my wife is the pinnacle of organic shopping and seasonality and fresh produce. I mean, with no exception, every Sunday we're at the farmer's market and picking up veggies together with the kids. And So she's mostly the food buyer, and I'm the wine buyer at home, which
yeah.
works out to be perfectly.
I love it.
It's right. It's phenomenal. But I mean, the farmers market now, you can see, if you go year round, you can see and you can talk with the growers. Oh, we don't have this. It's coming up next week. They're blue. You know, the peaches are blooming now, and the pears are coming out later. And the bell peppers, and so they will talk to you about the seasonality, and you can taste the difference. If you
right.
get in the habit of just munching on a carrot or a bell pepper or anything that's raw, and you kind of just let those flavors sort of create some sensor memories, and you see what it tastes, and then you go to a market again in February, and you try the same vegetable or the
different.
Same fruit, you will see how much more bland it is. I mean, you'll still
and
get
it's interesting.
Nutrients.
It's interesting you say that. And Robin, you know, I go up to a place called Santa Ynez. Serene, I don't know if you know Santa Ynez at all, Santa Barbara
yes.
County.
Mm-hmm, I do.
So.
Yes.
So my in-laws have had a place up there for a long time, and I shop at a place called El Rancho Market. And Robin, I think you'll get a kick out of this, as they carry a lot of, even a local market there, they carry a lot of the local farmers' products.
Mm-hmm.
And we buy carrots, fresh carrots up there for the horses and even for ourselves. We buy fresh apples, the meats and the fish. And I will actually, when I'm up there and I'm going up there this weekend, I will bring back a bunch of stuff because I can't get the certain seasonal things here that I could get up there. For
right.
example, simply, like you guys were talking about carrots, the difference between the carrots that I could get here at Trader Joe's or at Ralph's, even being organic, versus the carrots that I get up there are completely different.
Yep, they are.
The sweet, non-bitter, the texture is different. The skin, you know, I'm really particular even when it's organic. And Serena, I think you can agree, is when I go and I do the shopping for us at home, I'm extremely particular on my skins, on the apple, on my fruits, other fruits, and even my vegetables. You know, my squashes, the green and yellow zucchini, and my bell
right.
peppers. If that's, to me, if I see something that's dented and things like that and brown, I don't want to do that, even though I know it's organic and it doesn't last as long. But
yeah.
pay attention to these things because they do make a difference. You know, it actually makes the fruit taste different.
Yep. And we are going to have to end it on that note.
So man,
thank
that
you so
went
much
too
for
fast.
Being with us. I know, it goes fast. So
that
we
was...
appreciate... Thorn, we appreciate you being here. Anybody in your area that wants to try your restaurant, El Forno, in Santa Monica?
Absolutely.
That's
yes.
it. Yeah,
okay.
What's your address? Will you please give out your address, please?
Sure. 2901 Ocean Park Boulevard, and we're in Santa Monica.
Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome.
And
thanks
I'm going to see you
us.
On Saturday night. I'm
going to
be there Saturday
night. I look forward
to
see you, Jeremy. Yeah, come on over.
All
you
right.
got it, Serene.
We'll be
Thank
right
you.
Back after this message.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. This is Body Talk Live. We're so glad you could be with us today and enjoying our guests and our... Oh, man, did we talk about a lot of stuff food-wise? I'm going to go have something to eat.
We did, and I'm going to. I've got one more client to go before I can have a quick break. But, Robin, I wanted to thank you for everything.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. It was great. We'll do it again next week. And check out the Facebook page, TotalFitAndRehab.com. See y'all later.
You got it. And this is Body Talk Live.
I know I'm wasting all my time standing in that coffee line. That we've been sitting around the table drinking java by the cup. You know what? My lady wants me home. But when I sit down, I can't get up.